We're going to have company. Colonel Christopher heard the shrill alarm in Captain O'Banion's voice.
What is it? She asked, keeping her voice flat, calm.
Flash from Andrews. Pyongyang just launched a pair of fighters, vectoring straight at us.
Fighters?
Must be, from their speed.
Fighters, Christopher thought.
From North Korea.
Info relayed from Andrews.
How long ago did they send out the warning?
A pause. Then O'Banion replied,
Time hack says 4 minutes ago.
At least they've got a direct link with us now, Christopher realized. Finally.
Now they can watch us get shot down in real time.
She asked O'Banion,
Estimated time to intercept?
Again a pause, then,
10, 12 minutes?
Get Mr. Hartoon in up here, on the double.
Harry was sitting beside Taki, helping her to check out all the electronic controls for the coil. It couldn't have been Taki, he was telling himself, unless she's a damn good actress. But why would she do it? Why would she try to abort this flight? Why would any of them? He asked himself again if one of the Air Force crew might have stolen the lens assembly. And again the answer came back negative. They don't know enough about the system to cripple it like that. Besides, if one of them had started tinkering with the laser in its housing up there, the rest of them would have seen him.
Harry realized the gangly black lieutenant had ducked into the compartment, a puzzled frown on his face.
You guys need to keep the intercom open, he said without preamble. Our comm man has been trying to get you on a squawk line for the past 5 minutes. The skipper wants to see you, Mr. Hartoonian, and I mean now.
Harry pushed himself to his feet as Taki snatched up the headphone from its hook on the console and clamped it over her spiky hair. Colonel Christopher was standing in the rear of the flight deck by the mussed-up pair of cots as Harry clambered up the ladder. The red-headed captain was peering intently at his radar screen. As Lieutenant Sharman went back to his console, Harry went aft toward the colonel. He realized that she was quite good-looking, even in blue Air Force fatigues. Slim figure, pretty oval of a face, dark hair cropped short. Sexy, almost, except that she looked as bleak as death.
Are you ready for action? She asked, keeping her voice so low Harry barely heard her over the thrumming of the plane's engines.
He nodded. All systems are go.
We're going to be shooting very soon, within minutes.
We're ready.
She took a breath, then added,
And we're going to be shot at, most likely.
What?
There's a pair of North Korean interceptors heading toward us.
Harry's mind spun into overdrive.
Look, they won't know if we fire the coil or not. It's an infrared beam. You can't see it.
Colonel Christopher's brows knit slightly.
That's something.
Then she asked,
Could we shoot down a plane?
If you can get the coil's beam on it for a couple of seconds. Heat up the aluminum skin to its ignition point, and then the airflow starts the aluminum burning.
Is that real or some scientist's theory?
We've done it on the test range, with fans blowing air across the target.
At what range?
Harry had to think back. 0.5 mile. But the coil can hit a target much farther than that. 100 miles, maybe more.
So we can defend ourselves, maybe.
Only if the bad guy's dumb enough to fly in front of us. The output turret up in the nose can only swivel 30 degrees left or right.
Christopher looked disappointed.
They're not that dumb.
They'll come up behind us and pop an air-to-air missile at us.
Jeez. Harry suddenly felt an overwhelming need to urinate.
Our alternative is to turn around and head for Japan,
and let them fire their